Yeah, I told you that we, oh no, I told you, huh? Right? That we, when I worked for Tinsley Laboratories, on the computer-operated optical polisher.
Which made the mirror for...
Which made lenses...
For Viking?
For the Viking.
Okay.
They also made lenses for other things.
Okay.
Right? As we used to say, the bad lenses went to the public side.
Went to the hallway.
So, and I worked with the two best opticians in the world as far as I'm concerned. That's what I was told when I went in, right? And one was Brad Olin and one was Art Simpson.
Mm-hmm.
And Brad Olin designed those lenses, right? So so they were important as far as Tinsley was concerned. Well, as far as everybody was concerned.
Mm-hmm.
At any rate, because I met Art Simpson a few years later, he introduced me to John McAfee, or he saw to it that John McAfee and I met. And I told this story to you. Did you record that?
I did record it, but I haven't been able to put it back. I don't know what I'm doing.
Well, tell it again.
They were looking for an engineer to fix a problem that they had at a company called Omex. And they were making storage equipment for the IRS.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And... John, I talked to John McAfee over the phone. He was the head of engineering, and he was in trouble. And he had a circuit that was absolutely essential but did not work.
Hmm.
Right, and he had kicked off the guy who designed it, and the guy said, "Screw you," and left. Right, and Art Simpson was working for Omex. Because of the optical arrangement for this thing, right? The optical component of this storage facility. And he said, "I know this engineer, he worked for Tinsley Laboratories. He, you know, did a bunch of things that Tinsley thought were pretty good." So I talked to him on the phone, and I told him that I wasn't the standard engineer and bloody, bloody, blah.
Is that the story about where he came in your jeans? He came in his jeans for the first time?
Well, I met him. He was dressed in jeans.
You seen him? This was McAfee, right?
Man, right. John McAfee,
right. I talked to him on the phone and said, "Look, you know, I got hair down in the middle of my back, right? I don't wear suits. Right? If that's the engineer you're looking for, right? I ain't your guy, and I ain't coming down there." He said, no, you don't understand. It's nice and it's informal around here." So I get down there and I meet him, and he's got on blue jeans, he dressed down, right? And, you know, and he'd gotten a couple of his people dressed down, right? So...
That was the last time you saw him in jeans?
That's the last time I saw him in jeans.
Did you guys see a few minutes?
That's the last time I saw him at work in jeans.
Order breakfast.
Oh, yes. I would like a waffle and sausage, a side of sausage. And if they sprinkle powdered sugar, tell them not to do it.
And I'll have hot oatmeal.
What's the,
I think
I'll have a French toast sandwich with
lean
sausage.
Okay.
And how Jack
drinks.
Are you recording what we're ordering?
I'm recording what you're ordering. It's all part of the scene here.
Right. And I'll have the French toast sandwich with bacon. This is the voice of
Gigi Barn Radio.
At breakfast.
At breakfast.
With J.J. Webb.
Yeah.
Oh, Jake, your headaches. Over easy.
And you want
to do a
scramble?
No.
All right.
And more coffee.
Thanks so much.
So you dressed down, and that was...
He dressed down, and I took the job. And the company was really one of the most uptight companies in the that ever was, because it was working for the IRS.
Yeah,
right?
You were doing audits, huh?
And no, I don't know what they were doing. They just needed stuff for storage, right?
Yeah.
We were doing this optical storage system.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And so I took this job, and it actually took me 10 weeks to figure out what this guy was doing.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have done myself better by just throwing it away and starting again,
mm-hmm.
right? Okay. But they went, no, we have to get this to work,
mm-hmm.
right? So you ever try to figure out the inside of some other guy's mind?
Right.
it's very hard, right? Especially if he's not there, right?
Right.
You don't have him to talk to.
So it took me 10 weeks to get it all straightened out, right? Of course, in the middle, there was that great flood that we see here, the San Jose flooded, and the house that I lived in,
okay.
the water was climbing up.
Oh, no.
And I'd have to go through a pond to get to my house, right? It got up to my garage. I mean, you know, the street was here, and the house was up there like that, right? Right? And you know, my driveway up into my garage, it all filled up with water, right?
Was that like in the early 90s?
No,
80s. No, it was in the, wait a minute, I'll remember the...
Was it the 82, 83?
Yeah, something 82, like that. The
82, the big
right.
flood, yeah.
Right, so here I am in the middle of this thing, I have to take a week out to sandbag my house.
Yeah.
At any rate, I fixed it. It worked. Right? The day I handed it to him, I went, I'm out of here. Right? He went, no, we have another job. We have another project. I went, not on your life.
This is before all the virus stuff, right?
This was the year the PC was first came out.
You're right, right.
Right? Uh-huh.
And you said McAfee was into all kinds of get-rich-quick schemes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we did lots of things. See, voice recognition. The first thing he had was a thing called PC Commander, which was keyboard capture and
mm-hmm.
and you
mm-hmm.
know macros for you know. And that didn't really work out so well. I went to work for Cherry Associates, doing the first JK Masters Your Income Tax software pack.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right? And I lasted there for about, I don't know, 6 weeks. And I went, this guy Cherry, you know, you couldn't talk to him. He wasn't in negotiation mode.
Right.
Can we try to work like that? I mean, it's, you know, well, how's this going? Well, it's going all right. And then, you know, 3 minutes into the conversation, you're realizing he's negotiating with you, trying to move something up or move something
right,
back.
Right.
Right. Without just coming right up and saying, look, I got a problem.
Right. Right.
Right.
This was for like a tax program.
Right.
Right.
Right. Right. But here again, it was, you know, the customer was Simon & Schuster, I think. I'm not sure.
Oh,
it was one of the big outfits.
Big deadlines.
Big outfits.
And,
yeah.
you know, so what I did is I went back to John and said, look, John, you got to get me out of this one. Buy me some help.
Right.
Right. So he found me some help, and I went to Steve Jerry. I went, okay, now I'm quitting. No, I'm quitting, but here are these two people. They will do everything you need to do. And believe me, they're better at this than I am. I'm out of here. Right?
Yeah.
And I ran away. And I ran away.
Did your time and
I ran away to Lockheed.
To Lockheed. That's
right.
Like,
oh, what got you to Lockheed? Why did you go there?
Well, I had worked at Ford Aerospace on the very original image processing systems. I mean, that's the first prime was Ford Aerospace.
Right.
Well, they screwed it up real bad. Right? Well, they didn't, you know, they didn't as I understood it, the specs kept changing.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I was
there drawing circuits up. That's all I was doing. Well, they lost the contract and we all left.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right? And that's where, you know, that's where I met McAfee and I mean in that interim period,
right?
I met him, we became friends, right? And I liked his style, you know, lots of get-rich-quick schemes.
Right.
Early entrepreneurs in the pre-Cambrian era of microcomputers.
Right.
And he was also one of the most charismatic men I ever met. He still is. You know, he's got those blue eyes, and there is, I mean, he charms everybody that he's ever with. Well, you were with him, right?
He was big into women, too, I imagine.
He was big into everything.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he was...
Silicon Valley millionaire.
Well, at the time, he was just an engineer.
Yeah.
Right? We were just engineers. And we were, you know, hey, what do we do now to make money? We came out here for a reason, right?
Gold rush.
Well, the most technologically challenging thing to do... Right? Were those aerospace projects?
Yeah, they were. Yeah.
Right? That's, you know, so Ford Aerospace, okay, they couldn't get their management act together. They lost the prime to Lockheed. Okay? So in 82, they lost the prime to Lockheed, and in 84, I extracted myself from this guy who was negotiating with me constantly. Right?
Went over to Lockheed,
And slipped right back into that project, right? Not right away. At 84, I walked in to design a printed circuit board for a power supply for satellite. Right? Had to be rad hard. Had to be, you know. It was one of the things I did, right? Anything to make a buck.
Mm-hmm.
And then I moved back into, when I moved into Lockheed to do that, and then saw the project that I had worked on and said, oh, I know all about that. And they went, you do? Right? And so I moved into that.
So being a long-haired freak, did you have to go through security issues to get accepted at Lockheed?
Cut off your ponytail?
Did you have to cut off your ponytails?
No, and I never peed in a cup either. I told him I would pee in a cup. If my boss would hold the cup while I was doing it. It's a matter of dignity. Mine was gone, so was his.
So he didn't bother.
Oh, God.
But my boss, who was Steve O'Connor and a brilliant man, right?
Yeah.
He knew, right? He knew. That's why at the very beginning, I worked on stuff that was not classified, right? And, you know, designed an interface module between the boards that were being designed and the mass comp computer that we had that would, you know.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, so they could, it was an innovation that at its time just seemed like, you know, it's a stupid interface, right? But then one day you turn around and you go out into the lab, and the lab was fantastic at Lockheed, right? And there were 63 workstations, and every one of them had one of my circuits in it, right? To get this thing done, right? Which was to design the image processing system, right? For the spy satellites.
Well, how good was it then? Were you able to like rotate the planet like you can with WorldWind today, or anything like that?
Was it good?
Yeah.
how we used to get engineers. We would bring them in, sit them down in front of this thing, take the knob, right? Yeah. Uh-huh. Put a 22 megabyte picture on the screen, and spin the knob and watch the thing go around.
That would be the
end. Right. The engineers would go, where do I sign?
And could you zoom in too?
It was a completely digital image. It could be, uh-huh. You know, it wow. was. It was the brightest minds of our time mm-hmm. doing image processing, right? It was guys like Ron Ruff, and who was the first project manager on the Motorola satellites, mm-hmm. right?
The Iridium, yeah.
The Iridium.
Right, right.
He went directly from, so we did, let me get, this isn't where I wanted to go, but I'll talk about this for a short time.
Okay.
I went in to do this image processing system. I mean, that's what we were doing, the image processing system, right? And we worked very hard on the actual station itself, right? And there was another group working on the reduced resolution data sets, all right? The taking it right out of the camera and pushing it into the proper formats and deciding what was relevant and what was not. I mean, all the computer enhancements, all of the, you know.
You didn't have digital computers, I mean, digital cameras then, did you? I mean, or was it converted to film?
Satellites had digital cameras.
Did they?
Digital cameras that early? No, really? I don't know.
Don't ask for Michelle, huh?
22 megabyte image of Earth.
Yeah. Of a small portion of Earth.
Right, of an right. important small portion
of
Earth.
Right, it was the same
not
stuff.
Not Hanksville.
Not well, could have been. According to the charter, though, we weren't allowed to point them at the United States, right?
Oh, okay. Other important places.
Well, you know, otherwise the organization, well, there's a specific law against the organization spying on.
Not anymore,
on,
but
yeah, not anymore, but there used to be. Right? Now the FBI works for them. Ooh, scary.
So you were working on image processing and McAfee was working in signal intelligence, is that
yes.
is that accurate? Yeah.
That is yeah. He was doing SIGINT in building yeah. 120 and
this is over the hill in the pit, not up on the hill, mountain.
This is in Sunnyvale.
Sunnyvale, okay.
But I went to work and then, you know, one night John and I were sitting around, you know, we had to have been at least three sheets to win.
Three sheets.
What are you doing? I'm you know, working for Lockheed. Well, you know, it's money. So he came to Lockheed, right? And so did Stefan and a few of the others that were, you know, in some of the other companies that we, you know, bumped up against while we were doing, while he was doing things like the PC Commander and mm-hmm. voice recognition and, you know. And, I mean, voice recognition would have happened a whole lot sooner than it did if certain companies hadn't been incredibly greedy about it, the certain chip companies, mm-hmm. right? Incredibly greedy about it. I mean, we fought like mad and lost, mm-hmm. right? So that's why we, you know, all right, there's no money here, so we, right? I say we, but it was mostly John. You know, yeah. I was busy doing other things. I went, yeah, yeah, John, yeah. You know, another get rich quick.
Another get rich quick.
So, and that's when the 1812 showed up, the Pakistani brain, everybody else calls it.
Oh, the 1812, the Pakistani brain, was it?
That was the first virus.
The very first virus was a couple of Pakistanis trying to screw the Israelis.
Okay.
Right? And...
And you were both working at Lockheed when this happened, right?
Right.
Okay.
And he said, look at this, Jay.
What did it do? Did it affect mainframes? Or what was it?
No, it was after the PC.
It was on PCs.
It was after the PC.
It was like a boot sector virus?
Yeah. It was. It added 1,812 bytes to any file.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That it infected,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And in that 1,812, it fucked up the screen. It replicated itself onto any action that you made, right? It was the first virus, right? But I didn't care what it did. He said, "Can we find something that'll find this in this file?" And I went, "Are you crazy?" Of course you can. Anybody can do it.
Like a simple search question.
That's what I said. It's a grep, John.
It's a grep? A grep, yeah. For the Unix pads, yeah.
Well, we were working on Unix platforms.
Yeah, there wasn't grep on DOS. But.
Right? Yeah, but, I mean, you know, it's... So it was the easiest thing in the world to write.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And... I didn't care what it did. I didn't, you know, John offered me $600 to write it.
Right. Just on the side.
Right. Right. I was stealing his money. I all but told him I was stealing his money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I looked all over for the original disc.
Right.
I can't find it. Oh. I don't know what I did.
Oh, no.
Right? No, it's, you know, it's like somewhere around. One day I'm going to go,
boom! some 5 1/4 disk somewhere there. That,
right.
It's a grep function.
In MASM.
In MASM? Okay.
Right.
Right.
And that, you know.
And then he just started selling it, or what happened?
Well, no, he started giving it away.
Oh, he started giving it away.
Part of a strategy.
Right? And, well, the first thing that he did, all right, okay, we'll tell a little tale in between. AIDS was on the rise.
Don't say anything you wouldn't want heard in public.
I understand. AIDS was on the rise. And John started a club.
He started a club?
A club. With a membership card that said that you were physically examined and you were not HIV.
It's another get-rich-quick scheme.
Right.
So first virus company.
Let me get through this. He started this club and got a bunch of people interested, right?
Sign me up, I'm AIDS free.
Everybody was horrendously terrified at the time. Especially
yeah.
Especially like, super active, super sexually active people. Right? So, he started this club.
Mm-hmm.
And it went fairly well, but it didn't make any money.
Mm-hmm.
And, but it taught him a lot about how to put a virus organization together.
I guess so.
Isn't that
AIDS,
amazing?
That's
amazing. True.
AIDS.
That is absolutely true.
That's amazing.
Was the term coined computer viruses.
Oh, that must have come before, but. It's amazing.
Why? Well, because it has a similar type of organizational structure?
Yeah. What you got is you got something that examines your computer and then gives you
certificate of health.
Ah, I get it. Okay. That's interesting.
You
your computer isn't going to infect other people's computers. You're a good computer citizen.
Right, right.
Right? Go tell everybody.
Well, when did he realize that he had a big hit on this latest get-rich-quick scheme?
I don't know.
I did
the thing for him, punked out on the last half of it, mm-hmm. right? You know, there was a cleaning program that needed to be done. And a guy named Dennis Yell showed up, and he was so much better at everything than me. So that's why I said, well, screw you.
So you did the detector, and he did the cleaner?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So then it went on from there, presumably.
Well, what happened was the bulletin board was put up, right? And a computer industries virus association was invented, right? And it was right around that time that he got in his van for one time and went on a trip with some people.
Uh-huh.
A trip.
A road trip.
That you were one of the people.
Oh, well, the RV. The RV trip. Yeah, me and a guy from Time Magazine. Hmm. Yeah. And I guess that was Time would create a big hit for him, I would imagine.
Oh, because they wrote a story. They broke the story?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, was the trip about viruses, or was it?
Yeah, it was all
about. The trip was about viruses.
He was traveling around to various installations where he supposedly was cleaning the computers, like Hayward State College and
okay,
and various.
But he made one. Yeah. But he made one such trip. Everything else was done online.
Mm-hmm.
Not on the internet line. Mm-hmm. On bulletin board.
Bulletin board line.
So. Yeah, because we weren't there yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what did we say? Gopher and Fido was kind of state-of-the-art at that point.
Well, bulletin boards, the telebit trailblazer was the modem of the day. If you had a telebit trailblazer, what was that, 1,200 baht?
1,200 baht, yeah. So then Time broke the story, and then the bulletin board got more downloads, or... And people had to. How did people pay? They had to
they
call.
Didn't.
They didn't.
It was given away, right? And they took it to their companies,
mm-hmm.
and put it on their companies' computers.
Ah.
And then John would go to those companies, and they would brag. Oh, thank you, Mr. Matthew, for your program.
Mm-hmm. Right? Thank you.
It
thank
has
you.
Saved us. See here, it is on one of our computers, and John would go. It's on one of your computers? There's a license. This is shareware. Now, shareware was also fairly new. I mean, John gets credit, right, for inventing shareware. He didn't do that. But he's the one who made the most money.
So you're saying it was like free for individuals, but companies had to pay?
Oh, yeah. And the license for companies was a beaut.
How did he find out where the what companies were using it?
All he had to do was go into a company.
Everybody
was just going to a company.
Put him on that. Watch list. So the hit list. He's the target. Who's going to give me money now?
So giving away for free was really a big part of his strategy.
And then the military walked in.
The military?
Yeah. We've got a whole bunch of PCs. We got millions of them. And we're under attack. Told you, the first virus was a couple of Pakistanis after the Israelis.
Yeah.
Where do you think all those Eastern European viruses came from? You think it was just high school kids? It was Russian military.
Yeah. It wasn't homegrown.
I'm sure there was enough homegrown.
Yeah.
But when...
It's all spyware, huh?
No, it wasn't spyware. It was all aimed just to screw up the military's
You know, first cyber attacks.
It was a cheap form of attack, right? It cost it less than a missile to design lots of nasty programs, nasty bugs.
And how did the viruses get distributed?
Well, many of them came out of Bulgaria. And
it would be like
Romania.
On free floppies and not be downloaded.
Yeah, they would. You know, we weren't downloading yet, but there were the cheap method, at least the way I think it happened, the cheap method was the originals went out on corner discs.
I heard there was called shrink wrap viruses too.
I mean, I forget the big deal of the first. Was it Intercalc?
Visicalc. Visicalc had a virus in it?
One time.
Maybe cracked.
There was some
cracked copies of things
had
viruses.
Early Adobe programs had viruses pretty bad.
Early Adobe programs.
Yeah, Illustrator was a big one.
Well,
cracked copies or real ones?
Real ones.
No, this first shrink wrap virus came out, right, and caused a big stir. I mean, everybody was terrified at that point when they realized that they could buy completely legitimate software, right, and there would be a virus in it. And then there was all the false positive stuff that happened in the early days.
Because you're searching through executables and...
Right, because we didn't... At the very beginning, you know, at the very beginning it was real easy, okay? You're only looking for one string, right? I mean, how tough is that?
$600 worth.
Well, that was stealing.
But then, you know, eventually we had to look like a real company. And that's why, you know, John came to me. Turn that on.
Okay, hold on.
Yours too.